Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Well, howdy, everybody. This is John Michael Talbot. We are looking at the fire of God. We're going to be looking at kindling, how to get the fire going, and how that sometimes purges the bad stuff in our life out of our life. And that's good news. All things are possible with God. Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome back. John Michael Talbot here. We're looking at the fire of God. Are you on fire with the fire of God? It's a fire of love. It's the fire of His presence. It's a consuming fire that does not consume. It builds us up. It makes us stronger. But part of that fire is purging. It purges the bad stuff out of our life. There's wood and hay and stubble and stuff. That stuff needs to all get burned up. And sometimes when that's happening, we think that's bad news. We go, hey, stay away from me, God. You're going to burn this up. I like this stuff. No, we let go and let God and let Him have it, and He begins to burn that wood, that hay, that stubble, the stuff that's not precious metal and silver and gold, spiritual gifts, it all gets burned up and it disappears. I don't know about you. I have a lot of stuff in my life that I could do to part with. Stuff that just doesn't work very well. Now, this is all part, if you'll remember, we're going to be looking at the stages of how we build a fire. So we're going to be looking at kindling, the roaring fire of the charismatic life, of, you know, being on fire, then hot coals which heat the house, and then the evangelization that does good for the whole house and is able to get a new fire started the next morning. So we've kind of gone through the introduction of how these stages work. I want to be focusing on kindling, So we're going to be looking at some specifics, some of the nitty-gritty. We're going to be looking at stuff like materialism, that's a negative fire. We're going to be looking at stuff like lust, negative fire. We're going to be looking at stuff like anger, negative fire. We're going to be looking at stuff like gossip and slander, negative fires. These are all used in Scripture as an analogy. These are fire analogies. These are negative fires. So let's take a look and get going. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. See, we charismatics, we like to say, oh, I got the fire of the Spirit. Yeah. Well, Jesus says, or John the Baptist says about Jesus, I am baptizing with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But listen now to the nature of this fire. Before you get too excited, look what this fire is going to do. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So this fire, it's positive and it's negative. We have a little bit of both in our life. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, of course, is the fulfillment in the Pentecostal sense of that fire baptism. Tongues as a fire, appeared, which parted and came to rest on each of them. All were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to express themselves in foreign tongues and make bold proclamations as the Spirit prompted them. So there's a negative aspect of the fire of God, and there's a positive aspect. One burns stuff away from our life that shouldn't be there. The other tests and tries and makes stronger the great stuff in our life that God really wants to use. So, John of the Cross writes about this. This is, I think, pretty cool. He says, this flame of love is the spirit of the bridegroom, which is the Holy Spirit. This is the language, and these are the words God speaks to souls that are purged, well, cleansed, and rekindled. When the soul is in the state of spiritual purgation, this flame of God is not so friendly. The Holy Spirit wounds it by destroying and consuming the imperfections of its bad habits. The very fire of love, which afterwards is united with the soul, glorifying it, is that which previously assails it by purging it. Wow. This flame of itself is extremely loving, and the will of itself is exceedingly dry and hard. Hence, the very flame that is now gentle, since it has entered within the soul, is that which was formerly oppressive, assailing it from without. So the fire of God is constant. God is a fire. The question isn't the fire. The question is, how do we relate to this fire of God? See, we can resist or we can cooperate. The fire is a given. God's fire is just there. The question is, how will we relate to the fire of God? If we cooperate, He will burn away the wood and the hay and the stubble. It'll be a little unfriendly. It'll be a little uncomfortable. We learn obedience from what we suffer. It's not all, you know, roses and good times. No, it's a little uncomfortable. But if you cooperate with it and let God do the work, He'll get rid of the funky stuff in our life, the sin. And what'll be left is that spiritual gold and silver, precious, precious gifts of the Spirit in our life that will now be filled with love. See? Or we can resist and we're still going to get purged. You know, materialism is going to have bad effects. Gossip and slander is going to come back on you. Lust, a life of lust, doesn't work. You know, anger can kill you. So these negative fires, you know, you're going to experience the unfriendliness of them. And then the question is, how are you going to relate to that for eternity? Because we know that fire is also spoken of as hell fire. So, you know, I love what Pope John Paul II says. He says, here's the deal. God doesn't really send anybody to hell. We choose where we want to go. He says, you want to be with me in the beauty of the fire of love? Come on, come with me. And we can go and we can have fellowship with God. Or we can say, nah, I don't want to do it. So when we say, nah, I don't want to do it, we live in an unfriendly relationship with that fire, and it's like hell. It's like living in eternal purgation, that the bad stuff just keeps happening. So heaven and hell, in a sense, start right now. You can either experience God as the fire of love, and God as a purging fire, which tests and tries us, or we can experience hellfire. The fire is constant, folks. The question isn't the fire. It's there. The question is, how are we going to relate to that fire? And that choice is up to us. So, some few little scriptures to conclude this section on the purging fire. Isaiah 6, 1 through 7, holding an ember which you have taken from the tongs of the altar, he touched my mouth with it, and he said, your sin is purged. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through 15, the day will make its appearance with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each one's work. And 1 Peter 4, 12, do not be surprised, beloved, that a trial by fire is occurring in your midst. It is a test for you, but don't let it catch you off guard. So let's not be off guard when we experience purging fires, tests, trials. They're going to come. The question ain't, is it going to happen? Yeah, they're going to happen. Christian, non-Christian, believer, non-believer, we all face these challenges. The question is, how will we face them? I pray that you embrace the fire of God. Be purged, be cleansed, be purified, be ready. I'll see you back here in a few minutes. Thanks.
I abandon myself to your will. Do with me whatever you want. I will only be grateful for whatever you do. I'm prepared for anything at all. I offer it all up to you. With all the affection of my heart and my soul, because, oh Lord, I love you. I abandon myself to your will. Without any conditions and with confidence, because you are my God. I abandon myself to your will. I abandon myself to your will. I abandon myself to your will.
Well, howdy, everybody. This is John Michael. We're going to be looking now at the fire of materialism. It's spoken of as a fire in Scripture. We know Jesus was poor and that he called us to, you know, to renounce all. Huh? But it's also spoken of in this fire analogy. I think it's so challenging. James 5, verses 1 through 6 says, come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Well, gee, I don't know. I think being rich is pretty cool. You know, nice car, nice house, security. I know people who are rich. I know some who are so unhappy. So unhappy. so many stresses, so many pressures. And I know some people who are very rich who have approached their wealth as if it's all from God and they don't own anything, and they use about 90% of their wealth to help other people. And they do it voluntarily, and they're happy. So, you know, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes, your fancy clothes, have become moth-eaten. Huh. Even the fanciest of clothing is going to get moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded. You know, you see these guys selling gold and silver on TV. I often wonder if these actors really have all that stuff or if they're just paying them. But that's just me. So, but even gold and silver, they corrode. They tell me that, you know, people that buy all that gold, it sloughs off. So when you trade it back in, you don't get as much as what you put into it. Ha! How about that? So your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. Hoo-hoo, watch out, he's getting heavy. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one, and he offers you no resistance. See, it says here, it will devour your flesh like a fire. So we think that through our possessions, we're becoming happy. But possessions have this weird way of possessing us. The more we get, the more we want. I don't know about you guys, I can want a lot. I love that little line in Star Trek, you know, where Princess Leia says, you know, to the guy that's driving the starship, "I'll give you more than you can ever imagine." He turns around and he goes, "I can imagine a lot." So the more we get, the more we want. But the more essentially unsatisfied we become. So possessions can possess us. When we consume and we become consumerists, consumerism consumes us. I like what the Quakers say. They say the more things you possess, the more thing-like you become. And Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Treasures steal your... We wish that Jesus said, wherever your heart is, there will your treasure be. That is not what Jesus said. Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because to have that treasure, it takes time and energy and thought. And pretty soon you're just consumed by your treasure. And then you have no room for God. So, listen where it ends. James says 1:15, he says, once passion is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin reaches maturity, it begets death. Death. You know, rich people, poor people, they can't get away from death. When you get cancer, you get cancer. You die when it's mortally or when it's terminal. There's no way around it. So wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be. And you cannot give yourself to God and to money. Everyone who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The word renounce is apatasso in Greek, and it means to say farewell, to say goodbye to it. See? Now, this doesn't mean that we can't have some possessions. We're supposed to have some possessions. I can't live in this world without having this and my guitar and, you know, look at this. I'm teaching with an iPad. Whoa! So, that's because I'm an extraordinarily cool monastic. So we got to use stuff. The question is, are we using it or is it using us? So are we using it or is it using us? So the question is not, can we have it? The question is it having us? And that's why Jesus says that we have to renounce it, because these old habit patterns get very ingrained. Living in America, you know, we're the wealthiest people on earth. And we begin to get really, in our buying and purchasing patterns get very ingrained. It's hard to break free. And sometimes we're possessed and we don't even know we're possessed. But we wonder why we're not happy. See? So there are three different scriptural patterns. The first is like lightning. And that's getting rid of everything, baby. Matthew 10, 8 through 10. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give. Do not take gold or silver or copper for your belts, no sack for the journey, no second tunic, no sandals, no walking stick, for the laborer deserves his keep. And Matthew 19, if you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. After that, come back and follow me. For human beings, this is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. See? So that first pattern, it's used by all the great holy men of the world. It's used in India and China. It was used by the Buddha. It was used by Krishna. It was used by Lao Tzu. It was even used by Confucius. It's used by the Sufis. So when you follow a master, you have to give up everything to be free, to break those old patterns that are stifling us, pulling us down. We have to break free. That's the first pattern. But the second pattern, and that's like lightning. It's very inspirational, but let's face it, it's hard to grab that lightning and pull it down into some practical use. So Jesus and Francis of Assisi and guys like that are like lightning flashing from east to west. The second pattern is a power station. It's Acts 2 and 4. It says, all believed, were together, and they had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. In Acts 4, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. They had everything in common. There was no needy person among them. For those who owned property or houses would sell them, bring the proceeds on the sale, put them at the feet of the apostles, and they distributed them according to each one's need. Now, this was not just for monks and nuns and religious and clergy. No, this was for everyone. Everyone. But let's face it, that's a little beyond most of us. It only worked, as far as we know, in some communities throughout Christian history and in Jerusalem. So it's a power station. It takes that lightning, it brings it on the earth, and it's a transformer. It transforms it so that it can be sent out now. These great examples, the Benedictines, the Basilians, the list goes on and on, Augustinians, boom. But most of us need electric lights. Electric lights, that comes from 2 Corinthians 8. The relief of others ought not to impoverish you. It's a matter of equality. Your surplus at the present time will supply their needs so that their surplus may one day supply your needs, and there will be equality as the result. See, Francis, Pope Francis, he has said there's this huge inequality happening between the rich and the poor. The few who have the much, the more they want, the more they have, the more they want, the more essentially unsatisfied they become. The poor, who are the many who have the little, eventually rise up in revolution, and usually it's bloody. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the bloodletters. Do you want to be a peacemaker? Do you want to have peace in your own heart? Learn an appropriate way to let the fire of God burn away the stuff in your life you don't really need. Learn to enjoy the wants God gives you. He'll give you some, but don't be addicted to your wants. Learn to really let God give you your needs. Let the fire of God burn away your materialism, your consumerism. Don't be possessed by your possessions. And don't run from it, folks. Embrace it. Then you will be set free, and the fire of God, the fire of love, can burn brightly in your life. All things are possible with God.
Listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.